Good morning. It's April 16th. And what is it? It's 8:08 a.m. on April 16th. Snow, fog. It's about 28 or so degrees. It's not a heavy snow, but it is a heavy fog. Visibility is variable between about 100 yards. No, not even that. A couple hundred feet. And you can see two telephone poles, but you can't see the third one. And in some places it gets out to a half a mile. Not quite, maybe a quarter mile. It's hard to judge distances because everything is white. It's hard to find things that you can pick out that, you know, how far away they are so you can estimate. I know that that long walk beside West 20th is half a mile. I know I couldn't see halfway down it, so. Well, it's okay. So, yeah, it's real ugly. And I'm in a fair amount of pain today. Back pain, foot pain mostly. So walking, the theory is that walking will help it. I think it is helping because when I started out, they really hurt. But now my legs hurt so much from walking that I don't notice as much, I guess. I don't know, maybe that's it. So 21 minutes for the first mile. And if it's under 20 for the second mile, I'm going to count that as good time. The problem is that the places where the sidewalks are covered with snow still, which is most of them, there's actually some traction. These new boots that I got last year are proving their worth this morning because the gutters are filled with a thin sheen of ice under which is about 2 inches of water. So if you step off the sidewalk, you go through the ice and into the water. The ankle boots are just tall enough to keep that from flopping into the boot. And they're waterproof, so it doesn't matter. But where people were really gung-ho last night, yesterday, and got out and shoveled, what's there now is a thin sheen of really slick ice because it froze overnight. So, on the cleared sidewalks, I can't make very much time because I don't dare walk very fast. I have to sort of pick my way along. And on the covered sidewalks, I can't make very good time because there's between 4 and 8 inches of snow on them. It's sort of like slogging through heavy sand. So, yeah, 22 minutes for the first mile in today's conditions, not bad at all. See if I can find the sidewalk here. There we go. The sidewalk is mostly underwater, which makes me think I'm not on the sidewalk. I wasn't. That would be why. Okay. Yeah, with no contrast, and with my eyes being the way they are, what little contrast there is lost on me. It's really hard to find things like the subtle clues that the curb is there. It has a slightly tiny raised berm of snow on it. Because it's just a hair taller than the sidewalk beside it. So there's a very faint shadow. But because everything is foggy and because the light is so diffuse, it's really hard to spot. So yeah, yesterday was one of those I've got to do what days. And the key element there was the early release day at school that caught me flat-footed. The kids had a 1:30 release instead of a 3 o'clock release. And I had therapy in the morning, and I got groceries on my way home. And by the time I got back and got the groceries taken care of, got ready to settle down to, and yesterday was even worse than today. In terms of weather, it was snowing heavily, heavy fog. And by the time I get to the point of the day where I was thinking about perhaps I should go for my walk, was when I discovered that the kids had to get out early, which meant I really couldn't afford to take an hour to walk and do the podcast and all the rest of that, and write. So I chose writing. And it really was only about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And it was very little output, maybe 700 words. But they were good words, I think. And it's set up so that I can continue again this morning after I get the podcast out. The potential fly in the ointment is that today is another day where I have a sick kid home. She got up with a fever and headache this morning. I'm not going to make her go to school. It may wind up being an unexcused absence. I can't, in any kind of good conscience, send her to school. And I'm certainly not going to take her out to a doctor's visit for something as minor as one day's worth of morning fever and a headache. Now, if she does tomorrow, we'll have to see, but today, no. She hasn't missed a day for quite a while, so I'm gonna cut her some slack here. I'm also gonna find the MAC address on her computer downstairs and block it so that she's not getting up in the middle of the night after we've all gone to bed, staying up most of the night only to go back to bed a few minutes before we get up. Because, quite honestly, I think that's what she's doing, which is why she's sick all the time, because she's not getting any sleep. It's just a suspicion on my part, because my medications keep me drugged into insensibility most of the night. As long as the house isn't on fire, cat's not standing on my face with sharp claws, I'm not likely to notice. So yeah, do a little barn maintenance here, make sure the doors get closed and locked at night. Oh God. So yeah, today I can walk. It may be painful, it may be awkward, it may be unpleasant, but yeah. That's about all I'm going to say about that. Okay, where the hell is this curb? There we go. Okay. Just went through the difficult intersection, and of course there were cars there. So, what am I thinking about today? Well, honestly, it's mostly about Boston. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm thinking about it. I'm very concerned about it. In the same way that I'm concerned that North Korea may do something totally and completely stupid. And I'm worried that in the wake of Boston, the U.S. will do something completely and totally stupid. I'm a little concerned about what's going to happen when they find out, or if they find out, who's behind it. I just filled my pocket with snow. Ordinarily that wouldn't matter, except it's a pocket that has my phone in it. I guess it's okay. So, yeah, I gotta send kid home today. I suspect I'm gonna go home and find out my wife is going to play hooky again today. She can't really afford to take another day off. She already has to take one off at the end of the month for her dental appointment. She'll have to take at least parts of 2 days off next month to get me to the surgeon and back. Oh, I just got it. This passage that I wrote yesterday, it was a good, I think it was a good passage. I think it helps illuminate the character nicely and introduces some of the side characters that I have to have put in cameo appearances. There's been something wrong with it ever since I wrote it that I thought, oh yeah, no, this isn't. It's basically a... It's basically an explanation of price elasticity of demand. Because in leader school, Greedock is being bored to tears by his economics professor, among others. Figured out what was wrong with it. Well, other than the fact that it sounds way too much like a lecture. It's sort of an inside joke with the authors, and I think has something to do with the conversation that I've been having over on Google Plus with a guy about book pricing. Monkpole. And it has to do with this idea of price elasticity of demand. And generally everybody knows, higher the price, the less the demand. So that's what it means by price elasticity. But it gets complicated when you start dealing with substitute goods. So if the price of mainstream ebooks gets too high, then price elasticity, the demand for those higher priced goods, gets reduced. And a substitute good, that is indie published books, at a much lower price, becomes much more attractive. So from a pure economic modeling standpoint, there's a reason that indies are doing so well. That advantage will be erased if mainstream press starts to understand the true power of the ebook. So far, they're still seeing it as just another format. They're still seeing it as just another way to build a revenue stream, and they're not taking into consideration the reality that the ebook revenue stream does not cannibalize For that matter, the paperback revenue stream does not significantly cannibalize hardcover sales. Now, I know their accountants are going to say that that's not true, but the reality is, I don't buy hardcovers. Never have. I've bought a couple lately. I got two of Sigler's, but not because they were hardcovers. A, they were really reasonably priced, and B, they were Sigler. So what matters in price and cannibalization of sales is much less the price and much less the format, but more about the author and the author's audience. And Shatskin, whom I have very high disregard for. No, that's not true. Actually, I think Mike Shatskin has some really, really, really incisive insider views of the industry. And unfortunately, he's not privy to the industry outside. The London Book Fair is what's going on this week. Today is day two. I've got a Facebook friend who's attending as a... What is he attending as? Press, I think. David Goffrin, whom some of you might know from Storm Over Valparaiso, which is a historical fiction. Or Let's Get Digital, and this new book that's coming out, Let's Get Visible. He's really made a name for himself as an observer and commenter about the publishing industry and the complete lunacy of some of the people who say they are supporters, and in fact they're really kind of not. His latest thing was, I think, 10 things that Scott Turow does not care about. And for those of you who are not in the publishing arena, Scott Turow is a lawyer and president of the Authors Guild, which is arguably the largest professional organization for authors in the U.S. anyway. He's been quite, he or his, and it turns out it may well be his mouthpiece, the executive director, doesn't seem to have any connection whatsoever with publishing. They've been doing a really good job shilling for mainstream press and not calling for investigations into allegations of underreporting of sales, into draconian contracts, into some significant rights grabs, into assumption of rights that were never part of original contract. One of the problems that old time mainstream authors are facing is that some of the publishers are claiming that their contracts allow them ebook rights because the ebook rights were not specifically relegated to the author. When in contract law, they weren't specifically relegated to the publisher either, nor were they covered in a subsidiary rights clause, which had a very different meaning when the contracts were written. A meaning which, by the way, has not substantively changed since those contracts were in force, but are being interpreted to mean, well, of course we didn't attribute ebook. We didn't claim ebook rights because we didn't know about them. But if we had known about them, we would have claimed them. But that actually changes the nature of the contract and the terms under which the contract was negotiated unilaterally. And they do have language that says they're not allowed to do that because that's standard boilerplate. So, yeah, Turow has been a really strong proponent and a really strongly voiced opponent of ebooks, of the indie publishing movement in general. And he comes off as kind of an ignorant dipstick. and given the frou-frou over Hugh Howey's comments about the Hugos, that was, what we really don't need is another ignorant dipstick. For those of you who missed it, Hugh Howey had a post on his blog that kind of blew up in his face for being a sexist, misogynist rant. And it was, and more to the point, it was, it went beyond unprofessional. It's the kind of thing you might see, oh, I don't know, the YouTube comment. I'm just trying to think of some of the worst things I could think of on the internet. Anyway, it was, I found it patently offensive. And only partially because of some of the sexist and misogynist language that he used, I found it offensive. In general, tone and demeanor, because as much as I hate it, he's actually the poster boy for the successful indie author. Wish for somebody who was a little bit less enamored of himself. I suppose it's difficult when you're earning $1 million a year, but I'd like to think I wouldn't be that way. Maybe I would, I don't know. So anyway, that blew up over the weekend. It was awkward. I also had, I don't know if I remember this before, if I mentioned this before, we had on one of the communities on Google Plus, we had a no crap manifesto. Everybody was piling on board. Oh yeah, we really need to have a no crap manifesto. We really need to police crap that gets published. And I'm reading this manifesto and I'm thinking, no, there's no way. Nope. Because the problem is Sturgeon's Law. And Sturgeon's Law, 90% of everything is crap. I think it's actually at least 90% of everything is crap. And the problem with Sturgeon's Law is it's unilateral. That is, you don't get to declare what somebody else's crap is. You only just get to declare what's crap for you. And the problem... Oh, God, 22 minutes. Yeah, 23 minutes for the second mile. That was not unexpected given the traveling. So you get a bonus long episode today. Okay. But anyway, it's like, who gets to declare what is crap? And the problem is, you can't really rely on an author to declare something as crap and not publish it, which was sort of the thrust of the article, which is totally bullshit. But you also can't impose that from some arbitrary third party, because that's what mainstream press has been doing for the last century or so. They've been the arbiter of taste and culture. And I really only have to provide a link to Snooki's autobiography to sort of undercut that. And to make my real point, E.L. James, 50 Shades of Grey, which, from most critical standpoints, was complete and utter crap. And from a reader's standpoint, one of the most popular books in this part of the century. Why? Because it was different, I think. I don't know why, to be honest. I didn't read it. It's not, you know, my genre as a rule, so yeah, I don't know. But to say that we as indies have a responsibility to readers to police this smacked of arrogance and othering, and I don't care what other people publish, I really only care what I publish. Because what I publish is what matters to my readers. And what other people publish might matter to other readers, but that's not up to me to say. That's between the writer and the reader, and what goes on between those covers is none of my business. So yeah, I'm back at the back gate, or more precisely at the garage, because I'm going to get through the back door rather than try to wade through the snow in the backyard. Tomorrow's another day, and good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.